Yes. The contents of the Parsha Vayisara, right, is we were Sarah's Nister, Avram negotiates with Zephron, the Chiti, to buy Vinyaris Machbela, right? And it says that Avram knew that that was the place where Adam and Chava were buried. Right thereafter, Avram sends Eliezer, his trusted servant, to find a wife for Yitzchak and Aharam Narayim. It says somewhere between the Tigris and Euphrates. It says he has a caravan full of supplies and riches, and he has Godspeed. God makes him get there quickly in Aram Narayim, right in Nachar, and at the well. He comes up with a test, right? May the girl who I ask to drink say yes, and I'll give water to your camels, be the appropriate one. He finds out that this is Rivka. He gets invited to Besuel's house. Besuel is Rivka's father. And he tells them the whole story about how Yitzchak was born. Right, and they want a wife for her, and they ask for Rivka, and she agrees. And excuse me, it says that Lavan agrees because Besua was going to disagree, and God takes him, God kills him. Rivka goes, she gets a bracha from her family, and it says, Rivka met, go get married, and give me a year, 2090, oh, I don't know why that's relevant. Then Avram marries Keturah, some say it was Hagar, and he has six more sons. He's buried by Yitzchak and Yishmael, with Yishmael doing tshuva and giving Yitzchak preference. And it then lists the family of Yishmael. So that's the bird's eye view of our parsha. Second. Having a hard time with this safer. Okay, I guess it goes back here. Many of the Mephorshim say that the Akedah was the reason why Sarah was nifted. Right? We're told that she died, but we never have an introduction as to what happened. But it follows on the footsteps of the story of the Akedah. It says, Rashi, right, says she heard about the news, and I guess she had a massive heart attack or whatever, right, and she was nifter. After hearing that he was almost shechted, the shock takes her away. He quotes of Moshe Sternbuch, he says, Sora was an absolute tzedeket. How could she have such a reaction? How do we understand what happened? And he says, here's an insight from the Magid Meshorim, which was a sefer written by the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. He says that the mug had promised, right, that Lefkaro would inherit Misa Al Kiddush Hashem. And he was upset that he couldn't fulfill the mitzvah v'chol nafshecha, because we know Rabbi Akiva, right, when he was being tortured, he said, now I can be mekayim that mitzvah, giving my life to Hashem. He says, the Maggid said, you are zoicha to a higher calling for the end of your life because you live the Kiddush Hashem. He says, dying al Kiddush Hashem is a one-second event. But to keep living al Kiddush Hashem is an event that occurs 24/7 every second. It's a higher level. And he says, Sarah was upset over Yitzchak's near death. She was in shock that her son was almost not able to live Al Kiddush Hashem. In other words, Hashem was seemed to be preferring, right, we say the Chol Nafshecha option rather than allowing him to live to Kiddush Hashem. Based on this, we can understand why Avram didn't consult or share the news of the Akedah with Sarai. So maybe Avram thought that Sarah would daven for Yitzchak to remain alive, so he could have the perpetual elongated Kiddush Hashem. Avram wanted to do the Akedah. So we read this, and I'm still having a problem how it answers the Shaila. Was she shocked that her tefillos were almost negated? And I don't think it answers it. So I'm going to apologize. But the more I look at this word, I can't tell you what it really means. He says, Rabbi Rosner writes that there's a sharp contrast between Va'era and Chayisara. He says, in Parshat Va'era, unbelievable, cosmic, world-sharing, world-changing events occurred. Malachim visit Avram Avinu. Sodom was destroyed. Lot's wife was turned into salt. Avram nearly shechted Yitzchak. These were awesome events that had an effect on the world. In Chayisara, we seem to be dealing with different types of events. A wife predeceasing a husband is what we would call something that happens. Avram buries her. He wants to find the appropriate kever for her. That's a down-to-earth activity. He has to deal with a scoundrel like Ephraim. That, too, unfortunately, is very common in today's world and everyday world. He says, yes, we're told that Eliezer had Kvitzas Aderach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shortened the distance so that he could get to where he was going quicker. But what goes on then is a bartering, a type making a shidduch, which was not uncommon in those days, where basically, I guess you at times you had to buy a wife, things of that nature. So So if we look at the fact that it happens and that Yitzchak will marry Rivka is also something that is in the nature of common living. He said in the era, fire and brimstone coming from heaven, right, we don't often see. Having Malachim come to a meal doesn't often happen. The Akedah was a once in history occurrence. So he says, look at what he calls a contrast in how these parshas work out. And then Rabbi Rosner says, there's got to be a reason other than, I guess, the pure chronological order that these parshas go in order. And he quotes from Adin Steinzel. He says, in life, there are hectic times which require tremendous effort, action, physical and emotional strength. And there are other times in life where we can enjoy quiet, peaceful occurrences, and maybe we even become bored at times. But he said, he says, no matter what happens, no matter what epoch, right, whatever period, whatever reality is, we have a job to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, there are life cycles which are full of extremes, both on a personal and a national level. He says, Tishrei, we know, we start with Slichos, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yimei Tshuva, Tzom Gedalia, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. For 4 weeks, even longer, including, let's say, the 2 weeks of Slichos, there's something happening, and we have in front of us a task. And he says, we can reach some type of spiritual high in this period. And he says, in the individual lifespan, there will be times for Simcha, when we will all, shatnachas, enjoy simchas, etc. And unfortunately, there are other times as well. He says, I'm going to call that one type of life cycle, right? The ups, the downs, the reality. Then he says, we can look at a certain period of time, the day-to-day, where we have routine, where uneventful occurrences seem to be the norm. He said, there may be a little, as he says, the speed bumps to slow us down, but there's not going to be major tie-ups. And he says, we know, for example, Pesach becomes exciting, right? But then we have a lull the summer. After Sukkot, we have Mar Cheshvan, which has nothing. Yes, we have Kislev, which gives us Hanukkah. But again, Teveh, Shvat is a while, and then we get to Adar. But it's not an elongated period. He says, life is sometimes really busy, and other times we do live on a daily routine. He says, when Adin Steintop says that's how he compares the Eira and Chayesara. The Eira was extremes, malachim, miracles, unprecedented events. Parshas Chayesara is normality, the normal ups and downs in the life of most people. And he says, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our lives and our reality as maybe a seesaw. Times that we have to go high and low, and other times when both people are, you know, on the equivalent level on the seesaw, when you're sort of, you know, not moving too quickly. And he says the message is that no matter what time or what status we're at, there's a constant, the constant being serving the Rabboni Shel Olam. And what we're told is that Avraham Avinu, the very first Jew, excelled in both periods. He could excel in the unusual and the challenging, and he could excel in the day-to-day. And that's the way we should try to basically treat life. Pasuk says, Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomim, Hashem Beirachas Avraham Bakoil. Avraham became old, advanced in days, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with everything. And Rav Acha said, you have certain people that are old, but they don't have days. There are others that have days and are not old. But occasionally you have people who satisfy or have been merited to have both. He says, the Sefer Pnimei HaTorah quotes the following intense mashal, which he says is cited in many sforim. He says, a man went to a distant city where every person was a tremendous Yirei Shamayim. He visited the city, and he saw there were holy places and the cemetery. When he went to the cemetery, he saw something strange. On the stones was written the age of the deceased, which is unusual, because gravestones usually list the yard site, and sometimes it has the date of birth as well. But the strangest part, he said, was how the young the ages were. Not a single stone said age over 40. And he said, what is this? Is this a city that basically kills its inhabitants? But he said, it's totally illogical to me. I saw people who were elderly walking with their canes. So how can this be? He went back to the elders of the city and he said, what is it that in the cemetery it says he was nifter at 40, at 41? The head of Chevruth, Chevruth Kadishi, answered, you know what the minig in our town is? We only record the years that you were a true servant of Hashem. That's what we put on the kever, because we realize that's why we were here. But we realize there were times it didn't happen. So we only record the net number of productive years. The years actually serve in serving Hashem. Avram Avinu, the years he served and the years he was alive are called to be equivalent. And I guess what we're saying is, since he began at a very young age to question what was happening and worked on finding Hashem, they're all considered productive years. The Panini HaTorah quotes a story from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was in Radin, and Naftali Trupp was the Rosh Yeshiva. And near the end of his life, he was quite ill. The Talmidim wanted to do something for him, and they said, what if we try to donate days of our lives to him? And they started to go around trying to collect days. When they came to the Chafetz Chaim, he said, I'll give you 1 minute. And the Chafetz Chaim said, you know why a minute? Do you have any idea what an individual can accomplish in a minute? He said, every minute needs productivity and shouldn't be wasted. An extra minute in the life of Rav Naftali Trupp is cosmic. That's the effect it has. Rabbi Akiva was once giving a shiur, and his Talmidim began to sleep. He wanted to wake him up, and he said, why was Esther the ruler over 127 countries? And he said, she got the power from Zora, who lived the full 127 years. The Torah tells us that, again, all of Zora's years were full, right? She was always at work, so to speak, serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Rabbi Akiva was trying to tell his Talmidim, there's no time to sleep. He said, you may think you're missing a minute or two, right, of shiur, of Torah, because you're exhausted. But he said, you've got to realize that the importance of working to stay awake, alive, and productive at all times is incredibly, incredibly important. Rav Kanievsky makes a siyum every year, it says. One year he made an additional siyum, but not around Pesach, and he showed tremendous happiness. He said, the siyum was not because I completed shas, but what I'm having a siyum for is what I accomplished in the spare moments. In other words, the minute on the bus, the minute waiting for the taxi. You know what happened? For a period, I collected all that time, and I learned an extra masechta. He says, that's the value of a minute. And Rabbi Akiva was adamant to try to bring this lesson to all his Talmidim, that this is what was critical, right? The attempt to be in the moment for as many moments as possible. And I think we would all agree that for most people, there's, you know, it's beyond us, right? You know, to be there every moment. But the importance of making the effort when we can, when it's a little more difficult, is of such importance, Chazal want us to take this lesson and go on with it. Okay, that's the shiur for today. I appreciate it. Have a great day.